8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is Liam Hendricks, and you're watching Crosstown Crosstalk on the Barroom Network.
Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
Every summer in Chicago, the sunshine spotlights the city's spectacular skyline. Its luxurious lakeshore, marvelous monuments, and the over 200 neighborhoods in the city. And it also brings to light two of the greatest sports franchises in the world. On the north side, it's the Cubs. On the south side, it's the White Sox. This is Crosstown Crosstalk.
Hello, and welcome to another very exciting edition of Crosstown Crosstalk presented by the Barroom Network. My name is Vinny Parisi, and it is a special opening day edition of the show. I hope everybody is as excited for opening day as I am. I loathe the fact that I'm coming in here today believing my Chicago White Sox will win fewer than 60 games. It is the most disgusting feeling you could possibly imagine, but I have the excitement of opening day because I just love baseball. I have a whole show dedicated to the great game of baseball because of how much I love it. You know what else I love? I love talking ball with people who know a thing or two, been around the block a time or two, maybe helped invent a Chicago sports radio station. Of course, I'm talking about my good friend, Mike North. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Vinny. Good to talk to you, man. I like that hat.
Oh, thank you.
New Jersey Devils. Look out, baby.
Yeah, for sure.
You're the only guy in the country that has a New Jersey Devils podcast, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Outside of New Jersey, yes.
Of course.
Yes, yes, yeah. 100%, 100%.
You're like a miniature soprano. You're like a mini soprano.
I'm literally just a walking Italian. You said before the show, right. You were intimidated by me asking if you wanted to come on. I'm the only person that intimidates Mike North. Is that true?
Well, no, I don't think anybody's ever really intimidated me, but they've scared me a hell of a lot. I will tell you that. But
fair.
I just want to say before we go on, being two Italian-Americans, me being half, I'm a Medigan. Yes, so I'm Irish and I'm Sicilian. Yes, my Italian buddies used to say, you want a drink, you just don't want to pay. I understand. And Vinny, you being of Italian descent, are you a Napolitan or are you Sicilian? What are you?
Sicilian, 75%. Okay. So my 75% Sicilian. The other part comes from Calabria, northern Italy.
Okay. And you know, I just want to say before we go on, find another street to name Obama. Okay. Please, that Columbus Avenue, the guy discovered America. Obama just heard about Chicago 25 years ago when he was in Hawaii.
That's funny.
I mean, just leave it alone. Give him Larrabee. I'll give Obama Larrabee. But please, the Italians were getting kicked around. Enough.
Is that not the most Mike North intro to a baseball show you've ever heard?
I just got to tell you. I mean, when I go by the new White Sox Stadium in Nashville and I'm on I-57. Oh,
did you come on here to get the gears going, or did you come on here to talk some baseball? What are you
doing? I'm talking baseball, baby.
No, I'm kidding. You bring up Nashville. You're basically alluding to how much of a joke the White Sox are. Mike, I'm conceding to you, Mike. I know you've been waiting for this moment for a long time. We've been arguing on Twitter for a long time about it. They're a bad franchise. And
well,
there's
no reason
not to believe it.
I believe we're in the day and age where I was in when I was doing radio at peak level, okay, which was basically last week. I've been blessed. But I got to tell you something. Since the 90s, I never saw, especially with the advent of podcasts, where you have fan bases now who are filled with people that think they know the game completely. And there's a thing called experience. And when you have a lot of younger people calling older people boomers, which, by the way, I'm getting a jacket that says boomer. You know, I'll send the youngsters a millennial. That sounds like a flower to me, a millennial jacket. Okay. All I'm telling people is this. Eldo said, Eldo Gandia, the great podfather of the Barroom, when we were discussing the Bears situation, said last week, well, you know, we're diverse. No, basically, I watched the Rifleman yesterday. There's 12 guys on horseback, which is the rest of the Barroom people, and then me. Okay, and they got the rope, and they're ready to, I don't care what subject it is. I told everybody 4 years ago, not just you, Vinny. I told the Sun-Times people. I told the Tribune people. I told the Barroom people. I told everybody. You're banking on this team winning 100 games.
Okay.
And I never saw it. I never saw it, and I thought the Chris Sale trade, still, I don't care if he's his arms hanging, is one of the worst trades in the history of this town.
It absolutely is.
We didn't get a live body back. And that you didn't even get a ball player back for him that is actually a major league ball player. And I just had a problem with that. They've made every wrong move you can make. They're still going back to the 90s playbook when you were going to move to Nashville. I can put together a group in 2 weeks. And if he wants to sell the team to me, I'll be the 9% owner. I'll put the group together, and I can get the money.
Well, we're going to start the petition for that.
And I could get the money. So I don't want to hear you're going to Nashville. If you want to go to Nashville, move the team there, and then we're going to get a new franchise. Because that was the absolute wrong move to make a couple weeks before we kick off. But you know what? Chris Getz has got a heavy duty schedule ahead of him. He's got to try to rebuild a ball club that was sold on everybody that it was going to be one of the all-time great White Sox ball clubs. Kenny Williams, his swan song was being probably the most inept general manager in baseball and not forecasting, along with the other loser, Rick Hahn, how bad this was going to be because they thought they were the 27 Yankees, and the White Sox peddled it that way.
But my thing with this whole thing, in 2020, they went 35-25. And then in 2021, they went 93-64, whatever it is, something like that. That's 2 years of being on pace for mid-90s. I know the COVID short season.
Sure.
It was on pace for 95 seasons.
Sure.
It's hard to call two back-to-back years like that a flash in the pan, but that turned out to be what it was. So, where did it go wrong then? Because the Chris Sale trade sucks, there's no doubt, but there's no doubting that there were moves that were solid that led to this 2020-2021 back-to-back playoff year.
You know, it sounds stupid when I bring it up, Vinny, but I was doing the show with Aldo at the time, and at the time we were doing the show, it was announced while we were doing the show that they picked up that catcher, Yasmani Grandal, and I was stunned. I knew that he had already had two other opportunities to be the number one catcher, okay? And he basically failed, L.A., Milwaukee. So I'm saying, why are you going after this guy? He's bad defensively. He's not that good a hitter. If you need a guy like McCann, who was a two-time All-Star. And at the time, I had talked to Jerry Reinsdorf about it. They didn't believe in McCann. They believed more in Grandal. That's baseball judgment. You didn't believe in a two-time All-Star, but you were going with this guy going on his third or fourth team. So it's just decision-making from the same people that have been making the same decisions. And I knew that wasn't from Jerry when I talked to him. I said, how do you get rid of this guy? You can get him for half the money. He'll hit you 250. He'll stop everything. The pitching staff still misses him because the pitching staff did not like Grandal. So I knew from that point on, things were starting to unravel a little bit because you do your job for a team you expect to be rewarded, and they just shipped them off. So, you know, it's just things like that that you look at. You look at Tim Anderson, how they coddled him. You look at how Moncada was allowed to trot to first base. They were an embarrassment. And now I hear A.J. Pierzynski's getting inside information. Somebody's leaking out what happened with this club the last 2 years and some shenanigans and stuff that's going to be leaking out. So there's some enemies that don't like the White Sox as they are now. And I've even heard a couple media people say that, and one of them was a strong Reinsdorf ally, say, I've lost all respect for the guy. I mean, and this guy was strong. So they have a lot of internal problems. They have stuff leaking out. I used to think families like the Wirtzes and the McCaskies and the Reinsdorfs, it was good for sports to have family-run places. I'm starting to turn the other way. Corporate's much, much better now, it seems like, because these people are all outdated. They don't want to fire their friends. They run it more like a business than a baseball team. They take nothing like, they take everything personal. So I think the White Sox, and then you look at their roster, and we're finally getting to them, and you don't even know who 20 of the 25 players are. I looked at them today. I thought it was Notre Dame College Prep. Okay. And Paul DeJong and something like, I mean, come on. You know, just, and then when they move, threaten to move, Benny, they say they won't be able to compete if they don't move. What free agents have they ever gone after that were worth a damn? Did they go after Harper? No. Did they go after Gerrit Cole? No. They don't go after anybody. So that's a bunch of BS. They're just trying to build that stadium somewhere. So then when they do sell it, after Jerry passes on down the line, then they can get more money, period.
It always seems to be what it's about. I mean, every time there's like a big free agent, there are these like rumors that come out that they're at the table, right? They invited Harper in. There was the picture of him at the United Center. Same thing. Their hand was in the Manny Machado cookie jar, and it never turns out to be anything. I mean, is it Albert Bell the last time they brought in like a high-end free agent like that? I mean, Grandal at the time was considered a high-end catcher. But like you said, it unraveled. I've heard some things that are going to come out.
I never heard in my world. I looked at that $77 million signing, and I don't know where you heard he was high end. Not, I heard he was a good framer. That was the best they could say about the guy.
Good framer. I mean, he hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah, I mean, and he could hit some homers, but he wasn't a clutch player. He was lost from day one. The pitching staff lost confidence in him. They liked the prior guy, like I had called on the bar 3 years ago. So Tim Anderson, just a catastrophe. What happened to him off the field affected him on the field. It's not my job to find out what shenanigans he was up to. And then you got Moncada, who basically cares more about what color spikes he wears than actually turning into a top flight major leaguer. You have to get, and then they hire a manager that the Royals didn't even interview, and he was with them. So it's just a puff organization. I mean, the big announcement isn't the roster. I mean, I grew up in Chicago. I never asked for a shake with a wafer in it and marshmallows and chocolate bits. I never asked for that. I don't know what they think they're doing. If they think they're moving to Nashville and they're testing things out early. Hey, Dad, what do you want, son? A strawberry chocolate? No, I want a shake, Dad, which says socks on it with wafers and marshmallows. That gets in the way. Let's go. We're Chicago.
It's campfire s'mores, Mike. It doesn't look
good. Oh, my God.
Come on.
It's just the whole thing's hilarious.
It'll be delicious. You can only get in the stadium club. That's the biggest thing that they hide, too.
You're still in the embryo stage of being a Sox fan. You're all excited. Yeah. I'm excited, too. I want them to win. But when you see the total 60, there's not much hope. And, you know, the whole mistake they made, they brought over guys from all over the world that didn't have the proper, I mean, they brought over 3-4 Cuban players and they didn't have a Cuban coach. I mean, these guys get homesick. They're young kids. You had mostly a coaching staff that couldn't speak Spanish. You had Tony and somebody else. You know, just unbelievable. And they paid people too early. I mean, really, by all measures, Moncada should be gone. They should be gone.
Over Jake Berger, who's in the Miami Marlins organization now. I'm sure you like Jake Berger.
I loved him. He was a 16-inch looking softball player who's baby Schwarber. Yeah. And to get rid of him for a 27-year-old journeyman pitcher, that's Kenny Williams in a nutshell. And after they made that deal, he was let go finally.
Yep. So. I mean, Mike, the White Sox won the World Series when I was 11 years old. And then from that point on, it slowly started to decline. And it's
the least they won one when you were 11.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was 11, the White Sox used to always finish second to the Yankees. But, I mean, there was no playoffs. If there would have been playoffs, they would have been in the playoffs almost every year.
Yeah. Yep.
The playoffs when, now. Yeah. It would have been like, division. I mean, you had eight teams. You had to finish first. So
you just play in the World Series, right?
Right. You got right into the World Series. I mean, in the 60s, it was the Yankees and the White Sox. Late 50s, early 60s. We would have had at least one World Series win or something like that. We got in 59. We lose to the Dodgers, you know. So I just can't believe the spot we're in after being promised so much. And have to, and I was bringing up the podcasters. I love all the podcasters. But here's what I tell all the podcasters. You don't last a long time if you're not right once in a while.
Sure.
So I see everybody being a little more cautious this year and other things. This has been the most miserable 5 years in sports for me that I've ever covered.
We had across the board in all the sports?
All across the board. The Justin Fields fiasco is a joke.
There's no doubt.
I knew that from the beginning. They got rid of a winning quarterback, brought this guy in. They got rid of him. And now he's over in Pittsburgh doing what I wanted the Bears to do. We have Russell Wilson and then somebody behind him. And then you got the White Sox with the 4 years. You got the Blackhawks. They're being sued again for the 2010 scandal. That's still hanging over their head. They got one player that you've heard of that's going to be a superstar if he doesn't get killed. The Cubs did have been the one team. Ricketts has been the one guy that doesn't beg for money, buys the whole neighborhood, you know, says, I'm going to do this on my own for the most part. Maybe he'll ask for something down the line, but he makes the South Side look bad because he's been the one light. The Cubs have been the one light that's been shining. And the Bulls are a disaster. So, I mean, this last 5 years, I think it's been the people that were in denial about all these things. Oh, the White Sox are going to be great. Fields is going to the Hall of Fame. The Cubs are winning a World Series. The Blackhawks scandal's over. We got new blood. Give me a break. There's still a lot hanging over all these franchises.
There really is. And we're going to move on over to the Cubs, Mike. You talk a little highly of them. They go out this summer, and they do. I'll never get that video of you walking your dog. You had a bag of poop in your hand. You were holding the White Sox while you were talking about the Cubs.
Yes.
They talk about Cody Bellinger. You need to keep him. He even if he tapers off just a tad, he's still like a really good MLB player, has been for a long time. He's won an MVP. He's won a World Series. You got other guys in the Cubs locker room who have been there, done that, like Dansby. They bring in Cody. They beat Scott Boras at his own game, and they get him at a fair price. What are you looking at from Bellinger and the Cubs going into opening day?
Well, the over-under's 84.5 for them. You know, the White Sox is 60. Okay, 61, maybe in some areas 61. 84.5. They won more games last year.
Yeah, I would take the over.
But I'm looking at, you would take the over. Here's the problem. Bellinger is the one superstar in that team. Other teams have more than one.
Mm-hmm.
If he has any kind of off year at all, who's got to pick up the slack? Now, that video I did was when they wanted to get rid of Happ and Contreras. I said, you can't build a team by constant. Look at the White Sox, getting rid of guys, you know, getting rid of the sales of the world, getting rid of ball players to try to project down the line. You can't do it. You gotta keep some of these guys. So they kept Happ. They got rid of Contreras. Okay. Their catcher last year did a great job. Gomes, he did a great job. He filled in for Contreras. So they made a good move. Okay. Then they signed Bellinger. Now they signed this Japanese pitcher. I've been watching him in the spring. Unbelievable. So I was worried about them trying to fill in Stroman's part, because if you remember, Stroman got off to a great start last year. I got, who's going to pick that slack up? Now, the second half, they figured him out, you know? So he had to keep moving. Now, he's one of those guys you'll see on by the time he's done four other teams. You know what I mean? They figure him out after a couple years. Sort of like Dylan Cease. I don't think Dylan Cease is going to end up someday just pitching for San Diego. He'll be moving on. He's that type of pitcher. Rubbery arm, can go every start, can last for a little bit longer. That being said, the Cardinals, I think, from what I'm looking at, are going to give them a challenge. I don't think Milwaukee is. Cincinnati, I'm hearing some yelling about them. I don't like it. The surprise team that I got in that division, they won less games. The over-under 76, and I've been hearing and reading about, we're not afraid of this division. We feel we can, the Pirates, seem to be a team that's been collecting, sort of like Tampa Bay has over the years, starting to figure out. I mean, they've had enough bad years where they've loaded up a little bit and they've gotten it wrong before. But the Pirates seem to be a team that could surprise. But that Cub division is up for grabs by everybody. Consul's got more pressure on him at $8 million a year than any of the players. Any of the players.
Agreed.
And if they get off to a bad start, I know what I'm going to be doing because I didn't like the move to begin with. I don't know what Dave Ross did, but whatever he did, whether somebody leaked something out, he's not preparing, or he's not all of a sudden for Hoyer to fly to his house unannounced and say, "You're fired." Well, anybody does that to me, they're thrown out of the house after they fire me. You know, he came over bearing a gift and saying, "You're fired." Well, wait a minute. What did I do wrong? I kept this team in the race, for God's sake, until September. And then the right fielder missed the fly ball.
Suzuki, the pop fly.
Yep. Suzuki missed the fly ball. Otherwise, they probably go. And then I don't think they get rid of – you can't get rid of Ross then.
No, it would be hard to move on.
It would be hard if they make it. Only this town would do that. We get quarterbacks that win, we get rid of them. We get managers that we get rid of them. We got guys like Chris Sale, we get rid of them. Michael Jordan, let's go to the Wizards.
What was Lovie Smith?
Jeremy Roenick, enjoy Boston. I don't know where he went after he was with the Hawks. Chelios, go to Detroit. Yeah, Chelios, go to Detroit.
Yep.
I mean, every damn star ends up leaving, except Ernie.
And Mike North never left.
Well, they've tried. But see, yeah, they've tried so many times. And I just
You're not going to go do Detroit radio? No Detroit radio for you?
Oh, my God. That's another bad look. I mean, I wasn't a Detroit broadcaster.
Now I was a broadcaster.
Well, I thought that's what you were leading me into.
We could go there.
That was like, the problem is I know the people that are involved. How you doing, Foster? I know the people that are involved, the Brooks Boyers and the Jason Benettis. And, you know, you got some egos. You had an ego there. And Benetti, here's what I will say. I didn't like him. But if you said you didn't like Jay, he's the greatest ever. He's unbelievable. No, he's not. Jack Brickhouse, Harry Carey, you know, like Jack Quinlan. I can name them all day long, like Lionel Richie. He was okay. They told him to stop eating on the air. And if you ever saw Jason Benetti eat on the air a burger with the glasses fogging up, and it wasn't pretty. I saw it one day. I go, why is he eating like that? They had the camera right up on him. And you could see the food. I'm going, why are they doing that? Well, I guess that became an issue where they got an argument because he'd go, hey, look what I got, a burger from Fat Burger or something. Arr! And they go, whoa. You know, and I guess that became an issue and other things. So that's gone. And you got a new announcer who said he's going to catch up on White Sox baseball. He's going to read up on it.
Yeah.
The guy had a turtleneck and he's from Dartmouth. So
I think he was on Nesson at points too. Yeah. The Red Sox. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to catch up on White Sox baseball. So there's going to be a learning experience for a major league announcer. The whole thing is just insane.
It is. Steve Stone will help him. But so do you think
I certainly will for all you Cub fans out there? And let me tell you something. I once got into an altercation with Kent Merker back in 1992 with the Cubs.
It's better than Hawk talking about his buddyship with Ted Williams, though, no? Brought up Ted Williams every broadcast.
I want to say hi to Johnny Morrison out there in the Bolingbrook Golf Course.
That's funny.
And also, there's a ball inside. I love Hawk. There's a ball inside. You know, Yaz used to get away from the pitches by knowing it was coming beforehand.
I loved Hawk too.
Hawk was more entertaining. I don't know.
He was entertaining for sure, especially if you like the White Sox. But I am not convinced that if you asked Ted Williams or Yastrzemski who Hawk Harrelson was, they would have known. He makes it sound like they're best friends.
Hawk was how would you say a pop icon in 67. They would both know him.
Okay.
And Hawk could play, Vinny.
Oh, I know he could play. I've looked up his statistics.
He broke
before.
His leg. I saw him play numerous times. But he had the Nehru jacket on. He was, he tooled around in a dune buggy. He had the long locks. I mean, he was a showman. He's the guy that wore the first batting glove. I mean, so, yeah, they know who he is. But, I mean, I was talking to Johnny Pesky once. And Pesky told me I didn't know nothing about that pesky pole. Anyway, 2-2.
That's funny.
I love Hawk.
Oh, who doesn't love Hawk?
My Hawk.
A lot of diehard Cub fans hate him, which.
Yeah. But they hated Harry till he came over there. So,
yeah.
I heard Harry today. It was great. Marquis had him on 8 o'clock. Girardi's first game catching, and it's Sutcliffe on the mound. And Harry goes, later on this year, we'll be heading on over to Comiskey Field. Hey. Comiskey Field, he called it. God bless, I missed that, man.
That's awesome. That's one thing Marquis does well, I think, is they play those old games. They play those old games that mean something, you know. Girardi's first game. Like, who would even thought that they wanted to watch that until it's
on the TV? I
watched
about two innings of it, maybe because it's opening day, you know, Vince?
Yeah, of course, of course.
Can I just say one thing about the barroom?
Yeah.
Great, great group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of you guys. Of all you guys who've been sticking with Eldo for all these years and all you guys together, and Eldo's given a lot. The bar room, and I've always often told that Eldo's first picture on Twitter, he looked like the guy that shot Tony Montana's head off from behind with the glasses. You remember? First of all, if you're going to use a rifle, do you have to press the muzzle right next to his head? Maybe stand back a little bit, give the guy a run, half a chance. But yeah. It's been a great, great time. The bar room's awesome. Cover all the sports, folks. Make sure you subscribe. We're on all the platforms.
Absolutely. You could catch yesterday's episode of Bar Down where we go over the NHL. That was very fun. Love that.
How are those Sabres doing, Vinny?
The Sabres? They still.
How's Gil Perreault doing? Is he still rolling out there?
No, he's
gone.
Not.
Okay.
He's gone.
How's Derek Sanderson doing for the Bruins?
Derek Sanderson's drunk somewhere in Letterkenny, Canada right now.
With white skates. He wore white skates, man.
And he's telling someone at the local bar about how Bobby Orr was his best friend, kind of like Hawk does with Ted Williams.
Well, you know what? I have a game that I want to play. I want to find Rex Grossman somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
And I want to say, hey, Rex, I heard he's putting on a little bit of weight. I hear he does, you know, he's 5'10". I was at an auction. I did an auction, 18 hours I did on the air, 4 years. I said, do you want to? He goes, I'll donate a pair of my football pants. I go, okay. So he comes in. Now, you forget that football pants stop. Okay, but he brought them in. They were like this big. I go, what are these? He goes, these are mine. He was like 5'10". Now, you walk into a bar somewhere, and he sits down there at the bar, and he goes, and he starts talking. Or somebody starts talking about the Super Bowl, and he says he's a Super Bowl quarterback. Nobody would believe it. Nobody. Would anybody believe Rex Grossman now was a Super Bowl quarterback? No, but that's what he did. You know?
So if they didn't know, you were a Rex fan, Mike?
No. Okay. But I liked Rex. He was a good guy.
Oh, of course.
Of the bad quarterbacks, I was a Cade McNown fan. So I got burnt on that. I said, never again will I get burnt by a new guy. Not like this group, you know, Justin Fields, Caleb Williams, you know, who's next? You know, they like new toys. All right, get rid of that guy. Let's get a new guy. I don't make that mistake. If I think a guy can't play, like I think Caleb Williams, it shouldn't be drafted number one, I'll say it. If I think a ball player can't play, I'll say it. And I don't care what the ramifications are. I think I see the White Sox and the Cubs. I see the Cubs with the chance to win the pennant. The White Sox could be the worst team in baseball. Only Oakland and Colorado have worse records.
I absolutely think the White Sox are amongst the worst.
They're tough.
It wouldn't shock me if they're dead last.
Cleveland, today I watched the show. Aldo goes, do you ever prepare? Do you ever prepare? I go, all the time. I was watching the show today. Five members of a panel. Every member took a different team in the Central. Guess what team wasn't taken? The White Sox.
The White Sox. Someone took
the
Royals.
The only team. Cleveland. Detroit. Minnesota. Minnesota's an 86 and a half right now. I like Cleveland.
The over so do 80, I.
81 and a half. They beefed up. If they're pitching, the problem with the problem with Cleveland is if they're out of it in July, You see this guy? If they're out of it in July, they might get rid of Shane Bieber. They might want to trade some of these guys.
Yeah.
So you got to hope they're in the race if you take the over 81. I think they can. They got new leadership over there. The name should still be Indians. It shouldn't be Guardians. But other than that, you know what? It's a wide-open division. Torkelson on Detroit. Is Javi Baez going to come? I mean, you want to talk about a waste of money? The last 2 years have been a complete, utter disaster. In fact, if you look at those Cub players, you want to talk about one-hit wonders? Rizzo, Bryant, Javi. Who predicted this? Nobody.
Rizzo's been okay.
He's been all right. He plays with the short porch. He's on the Yankees. But he's been okay.
Bryant made a boneheaded decision. And I've heard that he's very upset with Colorado and the people that be up at the top over there because they overhyped. You're going to love this. They've overhyped the prospects and the young players that are in the organization, and they don't.
The guy didn't hit a home run for half a season in Colorado.
That's not the prospect's fault either.
I can get up with a wiffle ball bat. You can. He's been an utter disaster for what he was predicted to be. I saw Schmidt. I saw all the greats. I went to my first opener in 64 talking about openers. My uncle said, you want to wait here? The players walk over the concourse. I go, what are you talking about, Uncle Joe? He goes, come here. He goes, wait. We'll, after the game, we ran. Now watch. And there was, it was gated. And you'd see Bill Verdon, Roberto Clemente, Don Hoke, Dick Grote. And then I'd wait for the players after. I shook hands with Hank Aaron when I was a kid and Ron Santo. And then So opening day is always special, but I think the White Sox are going to be forgotten by July and the Cubs are going to give a push. I think that's another division. Both divisions, central divisions, are divisions where more than one team's picked to win. St. Louis, the Cubs. I mean, Milwaukee lost Corbin Burns. I'm trying to figure this out.
I don't like the Brewers this year. I know.
I don't either. Their over-under is low. They lost their manager, and they lost Corbin Burns. Here's the puzzlement. The Baltimore Orioles, they snuck up on everybody last year. People said, oh, they're going to be better. They got the good catcher and everything else. But they won 100 games. They pick up Corbin Burns. This show's really good today. I really got something going today. I could feel the rhythm going. But they got Corbin Burns from Milwaukee, and their over-under is only 90. After winning 100 games last year. So injuries could come into play. You never know what's going to happen. Nobody knows. There's always going to be a surprise or two team also. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like it'll be the White Sox. But if the White Sox, how about if the White Sox, if some of these guys like Eloy, I mean, that guy can't run the first without pulling a muscle, you know? I mean, there used to be a game called Donkey Baseball. You jump on after you hit the ball. They should have a donkey waiting for him to jump on so he can run the first base because he gets hurt a lot. But if they could stay healthy, who knows?
I when I look at their lineup, I'm like, if all these guys, if Benintendi has a better year than he did last year, another bad signing. If Moncada figures out a way to play 140 games and he doesn't completely dog it the whole time. If Eloy hits 30 home runs, Robert hits another 30 home runs, like he had 38 last year. That could be a lineup.
You know how good Robert is? Robert is so good, you don't even talk about him. In other words, you just take him and you put him out there. Now, Moncada's lazy.
Yep.
Moncada wants to be a singer. Moncada likes to set himself apart from the rest of the team. I hate guys. We had this in high school when I coached high school. There was always that one kid that was pretty good. Every so often, you'd get a kid. I was there for 6 years. We had this twice. I want to wear a different kind of sneaker. I want to wear different. I can't stand it. You're on a team. Everybody, the colors of that team. You're wearing gold. You're wearing green. You're wearing this and that. You want to be noticed. And then what do? You crap the bed. I can't believe we traded Chris Sale for this guy. I knew he was going to be a bum because the Red Sox don't give people away. Now they do, but before they didn't. Yeah. They kept Benintendi. They kept other guys.
Yep.
And they kept their shortstop, Bogarts at the time.
Yep.
And they gave us, and they told us, oh, we hate to let them go. And we got fleeced, period, end of story.
Rick Hahn wanted Devers, and the Red Sox were like, no.
They wanted Moncada. The White Sox will go after a guy that they wanted for 10 more years.
Yep.
They'll get him in his 13th year when he can't run.
Yep. Devers will be a White Sox in his mid-30s, no doubt.
Craig Counsell, Pounded Sports. Craig Counsell, Manager of the Year, plus 400. That's a pretty good price. But that's Chicago, folks. Every year the Cubs are favored to do something. I think Dave Ross would have been probably 550.
Something in that range.
The Cubs would still be favored. Counsell has the name, but what's he ever won? What's he ever won?
Nothing. Got to the NLCS one time?
Yeah.
I mean, for that Brewers team, it's okay.
That Brewers team, you had Yelich. You had Kane in center.
Yep. Kane was a good
player.
You
got some ball. You had Burr. You had a hell of a – you had Hader closing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You had a lead, and it was like in the eighth inning. You were in. You were gold. Then they got rid of him. They sent him to San Diego. I'm going, wow. You know, when Milwaukee used to keep their guys. You know, Yelich is still there, but, you know, he's damaged good sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and I keep hearing Cincinnati, they got to show me. I love Bellinger. If they didn't sign Bellinger, did you see the excitement the day they signed Bellinger from the other players? Yeah. It's like a softball team or a bowling team. You know, you find out you were right there last year in the bowling league. Okay? You're coming up, and then your anchor man leaves for another team. The rest of the team. You know, that's Bellinger if you would have left the Cubs. That's what I saw from the other players. Oh, my God, thank God he's back. You know, we were hoping he'd come back. He's the bona fide leader. Boros was bad for him in a way. Because they finally figured it out. If Boros is going to be a blockade to us and try to make and take advantage of us with salaries, let's all get together and stop him. And that's why they did. Snell wasn't signed yet. A few of his clients besides Bellinger were not signed.
100%. And they didn't do what like the White Sox would have done.
Huh, walk away?
They have Peter Crow Armstrong, this awesome prospect center fielder.
Bye-bye.
The White Sox would have been like, see you later, Bellinger. We're moving on to Peter Crow Armstrong, even though he didn't have a hit in a month to end the season last year. You know, am I saying Peter Crow Armstrong is going to be a bum in the MLB?
He can't hit.
No, I'm not. He plays real good defense.
He can't hit.
To get rid of Bellinger in favor of him would have been a major mistake.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. We got rid of Aaron Rowan. Remember the White Sox? Who was the blonde-haired kid that came in after him?
Brian Anderson.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Oh, my God. The White Sox are so good at hyping their stars. They'll do the minor league reports. You'll see Gavin Sheets. Oh, Gavin Sheets hit a home run tonight. They won't tell you at the time he was hitting 240, you know, or whatever. You'll see Moncada when he was with the White Sox minor league team and all these other guys. But absolutely, you're right about that. I mean, they hype. They hyped this Brian Anderson. I'll never forget it.
Yep.
I thought he was Mantle by the time he got up. He looked like Mantle. The only thing they didn't give him is number 7. Clean. Brian Anderson. I think he's still in the organization because whoever bombs with the White Sox, like Kenny Williams, you know, or Brian Anderson.
Chris Getz.
Yeah, Chris Getz. Who's the kid, the other kid that's the announcer?
Gordon Beckham.
Gordon. Anybody that, Darren Jackson, yep. Ed Farmer, anybody that absolutely sucks, anybody that sucked with the White Sox gets a better job and sucks at that. That's what they do. Okay. So Brian Anderson. Okay. I watched this guy. He can't hit. But they push people out, like you said. They knew the Cubs know Armstrong can't hit, and Hoyer don't play.
No.
Hoyer don't play.
Right, he's seen it all as an executive in the MLB. Yeah. I mean,
I have my hair dye blue. That's interesting. Enjoy finding hair dye down in Iowa. You know, I mean, come on. You don't play. The Cubs are a solid organization. They're solid.
Team colors.
Oh, every
Moncada would have dyed his hair green.
Moncada walks up. He's got more armor on him for a guy that strikes out than anybody. He's got more armor than Bonds used to have on him.
Yeah.
You know, and Bonds didn't need any. They were afraid to throw at him because he'd come out and beat the crap out of you.
Yeah.
You know, in a roid rage. But I mean, come on. That's now, wait a minute. Hap, here's what Hap's got to do. Pounded sports. Council puts him at leadoff. Exactly right. But I think Hap is too wound. I think, you know, you get pulled. He has that tightness. You know, he bats like this. You know, you watch Ohtani.
Well, you get that.
Yeah. And there's just fluidness. You know, I think he's got to get a little more fluid, but I think being a leadoff man is smart. I saw Council the other day in the spring training game, about 2 weeks ago, have the lineup card up, and they showed him, expecting him to turn around. He looked at that lineup card for 2 minutes, right? Never turned around. I think I've never seen a Cub manager look at a lineup card, to be honest with you, longer than 5 seconds. And this guy is supposed to be a wizard, so we'll find out what that $8 million was all about. Because that's more money than we're putting onto the players, a lot of the players.
Mike, I liked Hap at two. I don't know. I thought at two in the lineup. Horner leading off, right?
Like, I don't think. Yeah. I don't think Hap's got the overall speed to be a one. But you only lead off once.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you pad.
That's
you lead,
true.
You bat third. Another inning, you might come up as a fourth hitter with man on third. So I'm okay with it.
So do you buy like these people who kind of look beyond that, like when they create these lineups and they're like, okay, the number one spot in the lineup actually comes bat up to bat third in an inning, you know, 15% of the time. Do you buy like advanced?
No, I don't buy that. Okay. When I played ball, I led off. So I knew that the only time I was probably going to lead off was the first inning.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
And there's times, and I know this, I'll be straight up. There were times I came up, I wasn't as good with men on bases. Some other guys that were down in the order more, but they can't project. They don't know when eight guys are going to get on base in one inning.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how their lineup's going to be turned. The thing I always did, whether it's hardball or softball, well, softball for sure. I could hit in softball because you don't miss the ball, but I always got wood and I had speed. And that's what, you know, Louis Aparicio, the Ozzie Smiths of the day. It was all based before steroids like A-Rod and all of you had to get on with speed and steel, Lou Brocks, the guys like that. But and get wood on the ball. You have leadoff hitters now striking out over 100 times. It's insane.
Yeah. It's basically,
I mean, Ricky Henderson's the best I ever saw. I mean, he could come off cold off the bench and hit a home run in the first inning.
Yeah.
You know, he took batting practice an hour ago. You know, he was mm-hmm. playing cards, playing tonk, and then he comes up and hits a home run.
Yeah, Ricky Henderson was a good player.
No, oh, my God. Then he'd steal you 100 bases. My yep. God.
Yep. Do you like Acuna, Mike?
I love Atlanta? Him.
Yeah.
I love him.
One of the best players in the league, in my opinion.
Love him. I think I'd rather, and I'm saying this before this nonsense with Ohtani.
Yeah, sure.
I said this last year on the Barroom. I'd rather have Acuna. I said it on ESPN 1000. Plug with my good guy at Carmen DeFalco.
Not a
mouth.
Big deal. Love Carmen.
Yeah, and I said last year I'd rather have Acuna than Ohtani.
Well,
and this was before the surgery.
I don't think it's crazy. It's not crazy. Because
no. Well,
is Ohtani going to pitch forever? Player.
Yeah. No, Ohtani's not even going to pitch for 2 years, and who knows? He might be at Leavenworth. I mean, yeah. I have no idea what's going on. You know, like Pete Rose said, I wish I would have had an interpreter, you know? Then we wouldn't have these issues. The nonsense, look, I've been dealing with some of the worst people and some of the best people. There's every kind of bookie. I know some of the top boys. They're the nicest guys in the world, but if you owe them money, you got a problem
yeah.
back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, things have changed a little bit. There's more intimidation now, maybe. Where's my money? We'll be back tomorrow. I mean, this and that. And there's people that go through these apps. Now, when I did the NFL handicap show in 1989, I thought gambling was around the corner. And I said, someday there'll be sports books in every state. And I was the first guy to have a gambling show in Chicago in 1989. There'll be gambling here just around the corner. I didn't know take the 2020s. And I never, though, and this is the problem, I never envisioned prop bets. There's a guy named DeJounte Jordan Porter. DeJounte Porter, his brother, Michael Porter, plays for Denver. There's a, and he's being investigated for prop bets. And all Michael Porter has to do is tell his brother, the prop bet to me tonight is 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 30 total. There's no way I'm going to get that. They're saying he was betting $2 million a month. And a lot of it's prop bets. And there were prop bets on him. So we never thought there'd be apps. There was no, we never thought there'd be phones like that.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Never.
I could make a wager on anything today. I could bet on any 5 players that
any guy. The prop bets are going to be the scourge. Because in the NBA, you can have, if I was that way and I'm not, I would never bet on me or against me. I want to win on my own.
Yeah,
I want to win.
Same.
I could give two shits about about $100 on a game. I want to win.
Sure.
But winning secondary with some of these guys now. The NBA, I'm guaranteeing you half the league's betting somehow. Telling a family member, man, this is our third game in 4 nights. I'm exhausted. Wait, you're talking to like maybe one of the top players in the league. And he's telling his brother. His brother's running, getting on the app. And why didn't the interpreter have his own app? Why is it Otani's app? Because he's a gambler. Because he's a gambler.
Now, do you think on baseball is where you're kind of concluding?
I believe. Okay. First of all, I watched a wagering show this morning on VSiN. They didn't even talk about it because DraftKings is their sponsor.
Yeah. So gambling companies hate what's going on right now.
It's his account. So it doesn't matter what happened. You're not supposed to. And if he did bet on baseball, they'll find out. He's known this guy since 2013.
Yeah.
He might have bet on baseball in Japan. So these guys were buddy-buddy in the dugout on Saturday. The next thing you know, Otani sends a wire transfer, and it's titled loan. So you got to pay me back, but I'll pay you from my account. Well, why doesn't the interpreter have his own account? And who carries somebody? I know nobody that would carry somebody for $4.5 million. I can introduce you to the – that would never happen.
You're talking like a line of credit?
They give you a line of credit, but they're not going to let – look, you think that $4 million was made like – it happened in like a week? They've been carrying this guy for a long, long time, and he's been saying, I'll get you the money, I'll get you the money. And then he went to Otani. Folks, I've had to ask my wife for money. It's no picnic. I got over my skis this week, B. Can you go to the bank? It's no fun. I was going to buy a purse. Now look, you know, can you turn into coin collection? It's not pretty. So this guy had to go up to Otani, go, I need $4.5 million. All of a sudden, it's leaking out and everything else. Illegal bookies. Bad. It's bad, and they're trying to put a – because there's so much money in wagering. And for me, too. But I was against nil. I mean, I lose – I mean, I see where the LSU has a woman player that – from DePaul that transferred to LSU for like $500,000. Do you know how much DePaul had for her if she stayed? 20. I got that on good authority. So everything screwed up since COVID. Now you got baseball in bed with sports books built onto their stadium next to the hot dog stand. Yep. And they don't think this is going to happen. And it's their biggest star and he can't speak English. And to put it in the words of a man that I met in Windsor, Ontario, ladies and gentlemen, me and my buddy, I was doing the Grand Rapids versus the Chicago Rush game. And I got there a day early. Back in the day. And my buddy Knuckles says, let's go to Windsor. So we were in Grand Rapids. We go to Windsor. And there's this Japanese guy. Smoking one cigarette after another. I go, hey, what's your name? He told us his name. I go, you're a human chimney, man. You got smoke. He goes, two things we learn in Japan. I go, what? He goes, smoking and gambling. Okay?
Huge.
I'm just telling you, that ain't the first time Ohtani ever heard of a baseball bat.
No.
You can't be that stupid. And, well, and now I'm hearing all the people prepping them up going, boy, I wish he would have answered the questions. Why? So you could kiss his ass? So you could try to cover for him? He didn't answer anything. Okay?
He didn't even take questions, like, at all.
No.
It was known before it started.
If you don't know how to speak another language, the best thing you could do is the Jackie Gleason method, which he basically did, because they couldn't understand. And hamana, 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 hamana. You know what I mean? That's basically. So they're in a bad way over there. They'll probably pay the guy off, but how come he hasn't been charged yet? How come he's not in jail?
Yeah.
How come Major League Baseball said we'll self-investigate? Okay. And the FBI is going to probably stay out of it. Maybe, maybe not. Because you got more than one guy involved. But this is ugly here.
It's ugly. Oh,
it's ugly. I'm
Does
sorry.
It bother you if it's not baseball, Mike? Like if he's betting on whatever league they watch in Japan?
Only in one
or
reason I think it's baseball. Why did he change his story?
The story's changed like three times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Just pay the guy off. Here's what I would do, but Manfred's a dummy. Manfred's the guy that started all this. Oh, is he an idiot?
He's probably the worst GM in sports. And Gary Bettman exists, and so does Roger.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf was not his. He wanted another guy before Manfred. And Manfred basically encouraged this. What he should have done, seriously, is 2017 Astros should have kicked a couple guys out of the game. It would have never happened again.
It would have never happened again, and it's been done before, so why them and not, you know, you look at the 17 White Sox, like, why did all those guys get banned?
Why is Pete Rose banned? You gave immunity to the criminals. That's what happens now in a lot of walks of life. You gave immunity to Bregman. You gave immunity to Altuve because more teams were doing it than just them.
Yep, that's why, exactly.
So he gave them immunity because they said, I bet you more people are learning from this show today than all the other shows combined. What do you think, Eld? I mean, I think we're hot.
Yeah, no, we're doing good.
We're doing pretty good right now. He gave immunity to arch criminals. They fixed the baseball games. If he throws them out, you never have this problem again. All of a sudden now, people are going, well, wait, Mike, there's more. Oh, I got always more. I used to have to do 4 hours. The Temple basketball team, 3 weeks ago, Temple. Rumors, high-stakes gamblers, bookmakers, 6 players possibly on the Temple team. Bet stop at certain casinos. Apps, take them off the board. 4 days later, they're back playing. They're back playing. There's no way that if that happened 10 years ago, that they're playing 4 days later.
Yeah, no shot.
And we haven't heard that. Oh, we're going to investigate it. This is what's going to start happening. Now you have the Ohtani thing. They're going to try to bury this. I can promise you this. As a guy who knows how to shout quietly, it's never going to leave. This Ohtani is a stain that Tide can't get out right now because they never had a decent story. Now, what I would do if I was the commissioner, and I hope they listen, but nobody ever listens to me. Doesn't matter.
We do, Mike.
I get hurt. I'm sensitive. But I would suspend Ohtani for 1 month for being ignorant. 1 month, you're suspended. Nowhere are you allowed to go near a baseball game. You will no longer have an app. I don't care what for. That's part of the deal. You unknowingly got duped in a way because you don't speak the language well. That's what they'll say. We know he gambled. Well, but you're sitting out a month. Then it's over. He did a punishment. But if they let this guy keep playing, it's going to keep getting worse.
Yep. You're right. Yep. I mean, the way people are, I know the internet's not the end all be all, but they're all over this guy.
Oh,
I mean, he went from the sweetheart, cute, cuddly Ohtani's eating Funyuns on the plane like a stoner. And now he's, you know, the face of gambling Twitter.
Aldo often says to me, you know, you really hit certain things that not other people don't. Well, no, he doesn't really say that to me, but I wish he would sometimes. But I don't get any credit from him usually.
That's funny. Here he comes.
Aldo loves that bit.
Aldo's dipping in to defend himself.
Aldo loves that bit.
Let me tell you guys, this has been the most entertaining hour of sports talk I've heard in a long, long time. You guys are doing a great job. Thanks, I'm just sitting here enjoying it. Keep it going, guys.
Somebody is it because, you know, you're the best. I love Aldo.
Yeah, Aldo's incredible. And
I've known Aldo now. I mean, forget about it. You know, I'm tied in with the family now. Doodles welcomes me and his dog and the whole thing. But gambling on baseball, which I'll be doing today, it's hard for me because I love gambling. But if I see what happened to Pete Rose, and Pete Rose knows that Ohtani gambled. He knows.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He knows. And I mean, I saw the whole thing. I didn't have an interpreter like him.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just a college kid from the United States.
Well, give him a month off. Give him a month off. You're suspended. Show some balls, Manfred. Yep. Show some, because every sport now is involved in something that has nothing to do with winning.
Absolutely.
You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, my God. You just see everything going to hell. I mean, you cannot let this guy, and he's going to bat today. How come the one kid, DeShante Jordan, okay, is sitting in the NBA because he's under investigation? But Ohtani's batting second today. You're just a week ago, from giving a guy $4.5 million on a gambling debt and lying three different times. And you're going to dig in today? And he's off to a bad start because now he doesn't know. I just killed myself, basically, with my image. Yeah, and I don't think the Dodgers can't win any kind of championship unless the LA teams, the Lakers won a bubble championship, and so did the Dodgers. They can't win a full scale. And now with this distraction, you know, you're in the look. If we had a guy that owned a bookie $4.5 million on a softball team, on a basketball team, we'd all be looking at him like, what the, you know, even if it was for our, let's say our group, the blue collar guys that play park ball. Hey, did you hear about Jimmy? What? He owes the book $15,000. Huh? It starts getting around. $4.5 million. They don't carry interpreters making $300,000 that long. They don't.
No.
That I will promise you. That don't happen.
No, he's probably making like $80,000, right? And then Ohtani.
You know what I know now? Now the new angle is not only to try to not to talk about it, but, well, you know, he's more than an interpreter. He writes the checks. He drives the car. He takes a shit for the guy. Yeah, I mean, you know, he ties his shoes. He skips to the drive-in to get him a burger.
Yep.
I mean, he does 38 things now.
Yep.
Before,
you know what? He's getting
he just
tipped
walked
by
out
Ohtani.
To the mound and said, tell the guy what's going on.
Yeah. He's getting tipped by Ohtani, too, before.
Oh, Bobby no, I'm going to have an Ohtani parlay up later. I'm going to have
What are we thinking?
Well, I'll tell you, I got a couple over-unders for everybody for the season. I'm going to take Pittsburgh over 76, okay? Because Pittsburgh, in my lifetime, since the 70s, we are family. If you spell Pirates backwards, it's loser, okay? But I'm going to take them. I'll tell you another team. I'm trying to figure out. The Angels won 73 games last year. This year, the over-under is 71. Okay, Trout's back, but they lost Ohtani, who was a pitcher and their best hitter.
Yeah.
How are they only two less? I'm taking the under. Those are my two. Pirates, I'm going to take the over 76. I'm taking the under. If you can get it at 72, 73, the Angel. And they got Ron Washington. I mean, that guy, if you've ever read about him, not only were the players on drugs, Hamilton and he was. I mean, he doing coke, you know? I mean, everything. So he's going to be in Southern California getting another chance. I hope he doesn't blow it because some people, you got to make that first chance count. And he get another chance. but he doesn't have a very good team out there. Rendon has gone south.
Yeah, he's been terrible since going.
He's been as bad as Baez.
And Trout is on a decline too, unfortunately.
Oh my God! If I hear one more person, oh, he's the best player in baseball. No, he's not.
He was for a long time.
Yeah, but he played in relative obscurity. I'm an older man. I'm a senior. I'm a shut-in. I can't stay up past 9. I used to go out at 9. I can't stay up past 9. So I see very little West Coast baseball. So did everybody else, and you never saw them in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Why am I to think that they're going to win more than 71, 72 games without Ohtani? And Trout's due for a couple of stints on the disabled list, for sure.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Oh, automatic.
He'll miss that list. He'll miss at least 30, right. 40 games.
Oh, my God.
A week here, a week there, yeah.
It's automatic. It's automatic.
Yeah, absolutely. You talked about the Cubs and White Sox over-unders. The Cubs were 84.5, and the White Sox were at 60.
Cubs were 84.5. The White Sox are 61.
Do you like the over on both, or are you taking under 60 for the White Sox?
We were 2-0 last year. I took Texas over, and I took the Cubs over. BB took the Cubs over. My wife, she takes one. Well, she always takes the Cubs. So she's going to take the over. And it should be over, but 84.5, you're supposed to be winning the division.
Yeah.
But then I look, St. Louis is 85. They're all like bunched. So it's a crapshoot. The White Sox, I like, I wouldn't bet the White Sox,
Because if it was 60 on the dot, I wouldn't be surprised. If they went 60 and 102, would not be shocked at all.
I got 200 on Ohtani under 39.5 home runs. Well, that's another thing. He could be suspended. That's it. They could find out something, and that 39 is gold.
Yep.
People are going to jump, 39's nothing. Oh, wait a minute now. You just heard Mike say, if they want to put this away, that's all I'm saying, Vinny.
I agree.
You got to suspend them. If you don't, we'll be talking about this in July. Hey, there'll be people with Ohtani parlays. I'm going to have some fun with it.
100%. He bets after a guy whose last name is Betts. Yes. When the game's about to start and Mookie's about to lead off and Ohtani's standing there in the on deck circle, it says Ohtani Betts. Everyone's like,
one more thing. One more thing before we get on to other things. You know what I keep hearing? Oh, he's so private. Why? He's so private. Yeah. But see, here's what I think happened, being the street guy that I am. And I think maybe other street people out there, which most of us were in Chicago or in the suburbs, will be saying. He's so private. Yet 2 weeks ago, I turned on the TV and there's flashbulbs hitting him. And he's introducing his wife. Wait a minute. We shouldn't even know if he's married or not. We shouldn't even see her. All of a sudden, they parade her up with the Dodger logo in the back. Because I think at the time they said, Ohtani's down about 3.5. We got to change something up here. So they bring her on, right? So the first game, I'm watching. This is how sick I am. I bet the first game under 9 in Korea. Okay? By the way, I'm all for cheerleaders in baseball. Period. Okay? The problem with us is we're so woke, they'd have purple hair and weigh 300 pounds. That's the problem. Okay? I mean, did you see the cheerleaders in Korea?
I did.
Oh, my God. Anyway. I lost my train. What were we talking about on the cheerleaders?
Yeah, you had to bring up woke cheerleaders, and of course, you throw yourselves off. You were talking You had the over, or you had the under 9 in Korea.
Oh, that's in Korea. Had the under 9 in Korea. Then the cheerleaders came out. The final score was under. So the next, and they showed his wife as much as they showed Taylor Swift the first time she was on the Chiefs game. They must have shown Mrs. Ohtani, who she probably just met 3 weeks ago, 35 times. Okay. I'm going, my God, okay. Enough. And they kept showing her. The next day when it all came out, you know how many times they showed her?
0.
Couldn't find her. She was at the Catskills or something at a comedy show. You couldn't find the woman. They got her out of there. So that whole thing stinks.
Yeah, it does. And We'll see how it gets resolved. Mike, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today. It's been one of the best hours I've ever had.
Every week, every like for a couple minutes, you know, say, Mike, hey, how you doing? And then walk.
I would love that. You could come in, insult me, make fun of Italians for 5 minutes.
I'm half Italian. I don't make fun of Italians. Are you kidding me? I had every group after me in the day. The Italian group came after me. Of course, they came after a few people. They came after the Sopranos back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't have a picket sign. Have a picket sign for the Sopranos.
You say you're half Italian. That means you don't make fun of Italians. Since when? In the history of the world, does being partially Italian make you not make fun of Italians?
My deal is, and this I read this on the air, an Italian inventor. My grandfather fought for both sides in World War I. Hey, we're losing. Yeah, let's go over to that side. Okay. And they got new uniforms and and then they were shooting at their buddies. Okay. You know the history. This Italian inventor invented a plane that not only flies forward, but could be put in stall and had a propeller in the back and could retreat. They got mad about that. Why are you getting mad? The guy invented it. You know, yeah. I just read it off a piece of paper.
How dare you?
I'll give you another one. Here's when they really got. Well, they went after, I think it was Rosenblum, because he said something like when he was coaching Kentucky, that he looked like Michael Corleone on the sidelines. They came after him. Oh my God, did they come after him? And then another one I did. Oh, this you'll love this. Because I used to talk about all ethnicities. Nobody talks about it anymore. About that stuff. They're all afraid. No. I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. I said the worst thing that could happen to Italians. Okay, because my grandfather was a tough guy, but they put him in a uniform and he was helpless. Okay, they couldn't shoot straight. You put him in the Italian tee, you put him in some baggy grays, you put a street corner light in. Nobody's taking it over. Nobody. They fight to the death for the street corner. They just had trouble with land. What can I tell you?
Very funny, Mike. That's good stuff. Good stuff.
You know the history.
Oh, of course I do.
I go to my grandfather eating spaghetti. I go, how was the war? He goes, well, at first it wasn't good, but after that, when we went to the other side, we did well.
He's eating his pasta. Just keep eating his pasta. Yeah. Love that, Mike.
Yeah.
Love that, Mike. Well, today was a great show. Barroom Network's lucky to have you. We're very thrilled that you came on the show today. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this. As Aldo said, it's been one of the better times we've had on the show. And me and Joe Mandel do great work. You know Joe Mandel well. He's well. When I told Joe my girlfriend
goes,
today,
Joe calls me. Goes, anybody died today?
Well, that's I was going to say. I told my girlfriend. I'm on.
Everybody knows somebody big just died. I mean, John Suntra says it's a genius show.
But
he says that you thought this up and actually had the guts to do it. I go, what's so hard about that? So we've had some great shows. Tommy Williams died. Okay. He was at the score for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do with somebody big just died. Yeah. Jimmy Carter. I'll get to him in a minute. I'm staying an extra second or two.
That's funny.
Tommy Williams. I used to see him all the time. Most religious guy, did the announcing, worked for PBS in Gary. Did the Gary Steele game, baseball games, was the public address announcer. He used to go, how you doing, partner? I go, how you doing, Tommy? God bless you, Mike. How you doing? I go, I'm not doing too good. I'm a little hungover. Oh, that's okay, partner. You'll be all right by the time the big red light comes on. Just one of the greatest guys. He was a host, like I said earlier, a producer, writer. And then Joe Lieberman died. The only guy that has a half a sense in the former senator died. So. And I had to give that thumbs down too, you know. But I wanted to just put them into this barroom podcast.
Absolutely, RIP. Yeah. He will be missed. I did tell my girlfriend I was coming on with Mike North today, and she
you
goes,
like me?
Yeah, of course. But she goes, "Oh, who died?" I'm like, "No! I'm not filling in for Joe today. That's Joe Mantle.
Joe called
we're talking baseball.
Joe called me one day. He goes, "Hey." I think Bob Walters died. I go, who the hell's he? He was in Star Wars. I threw him a bone. and we had to show the next time out, and he couldn't even remember his name, Joe. He's hilarious.
Man, that's
Joe
funny.
Goes, hey, the next time somebody croaks, tune in. It's the best. We have fun.
Love that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he helps me with this show tremendously, and it's good stuff.
I'm worried about Iowa State. I'm worried. Illinois getting points, I think. Iowa State under the radar. Be careful.
So you're taking Illinois then?
Well, I'm not betting it probably because I think there's better bets out there. Who's playing North Carolina? Alabama?
I believe it is Alabama. I can fact check that for you really quick.
I'll take Alabama tonight. That's the one I'll give out, and I gave out the over-unders. I know, you know.
Yeah, you got 23-11 Alabama against 29-7 North Carolina.
Yeah, and North Carolina. Listen to this, Hubert Davis. I know. How do I do it? Hubert Davis is 8-0 against the spread since he became a coach in the tournament. Pretty good. So be careful. He's a new North Carolina coach.
Very, very good. Shout out Rabbit Gaming.
Rabbit Gaming, I'm exhausted, baby. I'm going to take a nap later after a sandwich and watch a little bit of baseball.
Absolutely. That's what we're all going to do today, I think, Mike. I think we're gonna have hot dogs from Rand's Red Hot. I can't go to
BB's. Yes, Rand Red Hot.
Can't go to BB's, unfortunately.
No, BB's been closed, but the legend lives on.
I'll pretend that's what I'm eating.
No, wait. Does Rand Hot Dogs have mustard relish?
Yep. Pickles? Yep, they do
tomato,
it right.
I think couple they dynamite do it right. Sticks, yep. Got some celery salt, got the poppy seed bun, okay.
Absolutely.
Are they skinless, they steam, or they put them in water?
That I don't know. That I'm not sure. Okay. I'll find out.
What you do, though? I got a little tip for everybody that goes get hot dogs. Sometimes when hot dog stands are open late at night, well, the hot dogs have lost their coloring, okay? But they'll leave them in there and use them the next day. So what you do if you come in early, you go, give me a plain hot dog. Okay, because then they won't give you the one that's discolored, that's lost the red dye. So you get the good hot dog, and they go, you know what? I decide I want everything on it. Just a friendly tip for everybody.
There you go. There you
we
go.
Never did that crap. We
well,
always
no. BB's did it the right way.
That's why we're not, baby.
What year did it close? What year did it close?
Oh, Christ. We were open there 8 years, around 1999, 2000. I don't know when it closed. But it closed in 92. 93, they said, listen. Don't sell the hot dog stand. That sports station you thought up, it's not going to make it. I go, I'll keep it a year. Usually you, and you know what? I knew then. I said, let's sell. You know, let's get out.
Yeah.
So it worked out. But they
did work out.
The same people that predicted the Sox rebuild that are still there were saying we weren't going to make it 6 months. I know who they are.
100%.
I don't forget.
No, you don't forget. You know, that's the number one thing people bring up to me. I do a show with Mike North every so often, you know, from The Score. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I had a hot dog from him in the 80s. I'm like, really? The guy's a radio legend. You're bringing up the hot dog from the 80s.
I had a guy call me. I had a guy get a hold of me the other day. I met you and Jiggets in 1994, and it was at Hooters, remember? And I go, yeah, but.
Yeah, you don't remember.
What a fun time it was.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Make sure you catch all Mike North stuff. Follow him at North to North on Twitter. And you can follow me if you care at Vinny Parisi on Twitter.
Here's what I hope we see today, the third base coach.
Yep. For the other team, probably, more than likely.
I'm the negative one.
Oh, no. I'm fully negative now.
Well, yeah, because you had your heart taken out.
Yeah, 100%. No,
Here's what the Sox do. They took your heart out. And
Yep.
That's good, Vinny. Here, take
Moncada, it. Moncada took out my heart. He put it on the floor.
You know what? He didn't put it in his body. He didn't put it in his own body because he don't have no heart.
No. He started doing some dancing on it. He was singing Desastre Personal while dancing on top of my heart.
Amigo!
I love the song. I do get down with some salsa every now and then, but not from him.
Greatest, and Eldo's going to like this. You know, Ricky Martin. Okay? Living La Vida Loca. I love that song. Living La Vida Loca. His skin is the color of, well, it's not mocha, but you know what I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
Remember those days?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Mike, that was very fun. Thank you for everything to everybody. Right, tune in to the rest of the Barroom Network. I'll catch you guys on South Bribs Hitman on Monday night. And as always, thank you for listening.
Tommy, man, that hurts. Nicest guy ever. We'll be right back.